Hello and welcome to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with relevant news, recent developments, and must-have information about what's happening inside the Mat-Su School District.
Good morning. This is Jillian Morrissey, the Public Information Officer for the Mat-Su Borough School District. And I am in here in the studio with Amy Iverson, our Title I coordinator from Federal Programs. And I'm excited to have Amy in the studio this morning because we are going to be talking about Title I and what that is. So welcome, Amy.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And so let's start with some big picture stuff. Title I it's something that people have heard but don't always understand what it's connected to. So let's do a big picture. What is Title I? Where does it come from?
Okay, Title I is part of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act that was signed into law in 1965. It was part of Lyndon Johnson's War on Poverty, and this was a year after the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So it emphasized equal education for all students.
Oh, that is really interesting. So this has a long history in our public school system in America.
Yes, and okay. It has been reauthorized about every 5 years or so. And the two biggest reauthorizations were in 2001, George W. Bush signed a reauthorization that is commonly known as the No Child Left Behind Act. Mm-hmm. And then the most recent reauthorization was on December 10th, 2015 by Barack Obama, and that is commonly known as the Every Student Succeeds Act.
Interesting. Okay. So we have these big federal laws that come into place. And so then as a local school district, we are mandated to provide services under that federal law. Is that how it works?
Yes. And there's various titles. So this covers economically disadvantaged students, which is Title I, but it also covers English language learners, homeless students, migrant ed, delinquent youth, private school children that live in low-income areas, and professional development.
Okay, that's a huge area. That covers so much of our that covers so many pieces of our school district. So you were just talking about different student populations that are then served by Title I. So
by ESEA, the Elementary and Secondary Education Act.
Okay.
ESEA.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. So let's bring it into then how it looks in our school district. So who is served by Title I? How does that look in our schools?
We have 28 schools that are identified as Title I schools. And so to become a Title I school, the school needs to have a higher percentage of low-income families in that school.
So what does that mean? How is that determined?
Parents fill out the free and reduced lunch application.
Okay.
So we get the information from nutritional services to identify the schools. And it's not necessarily the same schools each year, although there are some schools in our district that have always been Title I.
And you said we have 47 schools in our district, and you said 28 of them qualify for Title I.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Title I, I know, can look different in different schools. How does Title I manifest at different schools? How could that look?
Well, each school has a Title I team, and the team has an administrator, staff, and then parent and community members.
Okay, so you have an administrator, so a principal, one of the principals,
yes.
If they have multiple staff, so at teachers and some of our classified staff too would participate.
Yes.
And then community members, so parents and people that are involved in the school.
Yes.
Okay.
And so if there are any parents or community members who would like to be on a title team, the schools would love to have them. So please contact the school principal if you're interested in being on the team. The team meets 3 to 5 times a school year. If you cannot commit to being on the team and you would like to just attend a meeting, the school principal will have the dates of the meetings. But we really encourage parents and community members to be a part of the process.
So what does that team, so they meet 3 to 5 times a year. What does that team do? What do they look at? What are they trying to solve?
Well, first of all, they need to look at the data and look at all the subgroups and see which subgroups are not meeting proficiency or need more assistance. And so they review that data and then they make goals based upon that data and looking at all the subgroups, and then they figure out how they're going to meet their goal. And so each school gets, the school team makes a decision on how they will spend their Title I money.
Okay.
It's the team's decision.
Interesting.
So they are spending money on things above and beyond what the district is providing for them.
So that's coming from that federal money that's coming in for,
yes,
specifically
so
for this.
Title I is the biggest source of federal money to schools in the nation.
Interesting. I wanted to go back a little bit to the team, because this is something that, as I've been in the school district, something that I find really amazing and astounding is how much effort is put in specifically at the school level, and even then with, in collaboration with the district office, about data-driven decision-making. And so one thing that I think is important for listeners to understand is that we have lots of different data that our administrators, our staff are looking at in order to support our students. So you were saying that that title team looks at some data. So what is some of the those measures that they specifically look at?
MAP scores.
Okay, so assessment. Yep.
Assessments.
Okay.
Yes. The PEAKS data, the students have only taken the PEAKS test one time so far.
It's
so
pretty new.
We couldn't compare it to anything.
Right.
So, yes, assessments.
So MAP is really one of the main drivers that you're looking at,
yes,
to see if you have, and you said subgroups. And so is that you're looking at the different groups and how they're performing in math, literacy, language? Is that what you?
Yes.
Okay.
So EL students, migrant students, Alaska Native, American Indian.
And so that's where you're looking for maybe gaps and seeing if,
yes, how they compare to, how the subgroups compare to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in what their gain has been.
Interesting. So then the group comes together and they know they have this money coming from Title I federal money, and then they, mm-hmm, can use that money to help create solutions for the school.
Yes.
What are some just examples of, I know each school, especially because, mm-hmm, you're pulling together a team that looks different at each school. What are some examples of how schools choose to do, how to create solutions?
Well, there's online resources.
Like curriculum?
Curriculum, yes.
Okay.
Before school programs, after school programs, professional development for teachers,
mm-hmm,
clubs, field trip.
So enrichment pieces also.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting.
For personnel.
Oh, excellent. So if there, it, maybe the need is somebody to support students with literacy, so you have someone helping kids with reading and doing more
tutors,
one-to-one.
Some schools have tutors.
Excellent. Okay. I know that right now that your department has a survey out that,
yes,
that you want people to fill out. Tell me a little bit more about the survey and what it's going to do for your department.
What we want input from parents and community members and staff on the Title I programs in the schools. So this survey is only for Title I schools. And the schools will use the information from the survey to help them as they plan for the next school year.
So you're taking this data to help figure out what you can do to continue to help these schools.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So the principals have put this survey on in newsletters to parents.
Okay. It is currently on the front of our website. So if you go to www.matsuk12.us, it's on our headline, on our rotators. And so you'll see it there. And so parents, students, teachers, I think you said also can fill it out.
Yes.
Okay.
Students can fill it out as well. And if a parent has more than one child, please fill out the survey for each child.
And can do it multiple times. That's great.
Yes.
Okay. You mentioned a free and reduced lunch. Can you tell us more about that? And because I know that's connected to Title I, and just tell me how the relationship there and how parents find out about that service.
Each school has those applications. If there's income requirements for free or reduced lunch, and parents fill out the application.
Mm-hmm.
And if they qualify for a free lunch, then that student is included in, when we determine which schools are Title I, that we're looking at the numbers of kids in a school. We're looking at the percentage of students in a school who are free. And then once the school has qualified as Title I, then we look at the numbers to determine how much money it will be.
Okay. It's really important that we have an opportunity to be able to identify those students so that then additional funding can come in to support them. This is Jillian Morrissey, the Public Information Officer for the Matsubara School District, and I'm in the studio with Amy Iverson from our federal programs, and she is our Title I coordinator for the district. And we're just talking about the different services and the different opportunities for our schools and our students within Title I. What are beyond free and reduced lunch? You talked about all the after school programs, there's enrichment clubs, there's all these different things that are available to students. What's the best way for families and our listeners to understand how to be engaged with Title I? How do they connect to this?
Each Title I school has 4 or more parent engagement events a year through Title I, where they encourage the parents and family members to come. And it's definitely about the family. So if you have a student in the school, but other children in other schools, we still want you to bring your whole family to the event. Okay. There's some really fun events that the schools are doing. Technology nights, science nights, math night, camp read a lot, cultural night, end of the year celebration, harvest carnival.
Oh, that's so it's all year long there are things happening.
Throughout the district, yes.
Okay. Do we have any coming up for the spring?
Every school has something coming up in the spring.
Oh, that's good to know.
Okay. Yes. So there's like 28 schools have something happening. Yes.
Oh, that's exciting. And I know that they all are, it's throughout the district. We have Title I schools in the core. We have them out in the far-reaching areas also. So what have I missed? What do our listeners need to know about Title I?
Well, I have a list of the Title I schools. Would they want to know who the schools are?
Well, I do know that that's also available on our website, right? Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Where can we find you on the website?
Look under programs and then find federal programs.
Okay. So if you go to www.matsuk12.us, there's on the top, there's going to be the programs button. Title I lives under federal programs. So if you have any questions, that's a place to direct your inquiries. And Amy Iverson is the coordinator. And I want to thank you, Amy, for coming in today. And I hope this generates a lot of interest and a lot of calls into your department, because Title I's an amazing program and supports our schools a great deal. So
yeah, and my phone number's on the website.
Do you want to say it right now?
My phone number is 746-9253.
Excellent. So call Amy if you are looking for more information about Title I. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with information about what's happening in the Matsu schools. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.